Welcome to Pet Food Advisors. I'm Tracy Hotchner, a pet wellness advocate with a special interest in dog and cat nutrition, here to help you unravel the mysteries of pet food so you can make thoughtful decisions about feeding your own dogs and cats. This show is a production of Pet Media, Inc., with opinions and information that are the sole responsibility of the expert guests who offer them. The Radio Pet Lady Network is partnered with my other enterprise, the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the remarkable bond between dogs and their people. I will be taking the festival across the United States, including Washington, D.C., East Hampton, New York, Rochester, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix. And I hope to see you at the second annual Dog Film Festival, October 15th in New York City. You can find more information at dogfilmfestival.com. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado, who has created innovative litters for the health of all members of the family, with low-dust litters that allow everyone to breathe easier. Precious Cat's newest health monitor litter has broken new ground by allowing people to find the early signs of kidney disease in their kitties and intervene before damage is done, prolonging the quality and health of their kitty cat's lives.
I am joined by Dr. Judy Morgan, who is one of my co-hosts on Holistic Vets, another show on the Radio Pet Lady Network, and someone for whom food and dogs and cats, and particularly Chinese medicine theory and food, is a huge passion. She's written a most beautiful book called What's for Dinner, Dexter? Cooking for Your Dog Using Chinese Medicine Theory. Dr. Judy, it is great to have you join me on Pet Food Advisors because I don't think many people really know what Chinese medicine theory is for food, but when they read about it, it's darned interesting. How did you learn about it, and how did you become so well-versed in it?
Well, I took acupuncture at the Qi Institute, and I was not aware that there are actually multiple branches of Chinese medicine, including herbals and Tui Na and acupuncture and food
therapy.
What
was Tui Na? Wait, I've never heard of Tui Na. What's Tui Na?
Okay, so Tui Na is sort of their version of chiropractic. It's a gentle manipulation,
So
sort of a cross between massage and chiropractic.
Is that like osteopathy really for humans? Kind of?
Might be a little bit. But it's you know, the kinder, gentler version of chiropractic.
Okay.
And I think it incorporates some acupressure points and, you know, some different kinds of movements that you do with your hands to try to, you know, get some of the stiffness and get the meridians opened up and get the energy flowing. So it's very, very cool. And I have actually not taken, one part I have not taken in the Chinese medicine yet, so I'm not as well versed in that.
But just interesting to know that, as you point out, that just because one follows Chinese theory in health and illness, that there are still branches of it, the acupuncture being only one, but medicine, food therapy being another. Okay.
Right. So not everyone who does acupuncture is well-versed in food therapy. And for a lot of people, you know, they might use it a little bit to help their patients, but they're, you know, it's not their main focus. For me, I think that the food therapy is the biggest focus that I use in my clinic. The acupuncture does come secondary to the food therapy. The herbals come secondary. The herbal therapy is really a concentrated form of food therapy. So, you know, I can use fresh herbs from the garden as part of a meal, or I can use a concentrated pill or capsule form of the herbs. And for me, I'd rather go pick it out in my garden where I, you know what it is and where it was grown and that it's organic and doesn't have chemicals and pesticides, and then I just incorporate that into the diet.
Now, in your book, What's for Dinner, Dexter, you talk about a lot of these herbs and, protein sources, some of them quite exotic for the American taste, lamb lung and even crab and things like that. But if someone doesn't have a garden because they're not a gardener or they live someplace where that's not the time of year, is there a way to get these herbs that you talk about in your work?
Well, sure. When you're talking about herbs, you can use any kind of dried herb as well. So if I'm talking about parsley and you don't have parsley growing in your garden, or I'm not going to have it very shortly here either, because of the weather. So, you know, I can use a dried parsley that I would just buy at the grocery store.
I see.
So, you know, so that's fine. You know, it's going to be, the dried product is, you know, might be a little bit different in its properties and might not be quite as effective as the fresh, but sometimes it's more concentrated. So, but you could still use that. And as far as the odd meats that are, you know, some of the, like there's alligator in a couple of the recipes.
Love that.
And, you know, we laugh at that, but people in Florida and in the South, alligators in every grocery store.
Is that a fact?
So,
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And Tanya Wilhelm, who's my co-author on the book, she lives in Toledo, Ohio, and she gets her alligator in Michigan.
No kidding. So what is it? Like an alligator farm?
Anywhere.
There's an alligator farm in Michigan?
No, I think it's probably imported from down in the southern part of the country.
Oh, I see.
But like I've been to the Italian market in Philadelphia, and there's butcher shop after butcher shop after butcher shop with exotic meat. You name it, they have it, and the organs from those different exotic animals. So you can find that stuff if you're a little bit resourceful. You can also order a lot of stuff online. You know, with the online stuff, obviously, you have to ask the questions about the sourcing and where it's coming from.
Right.
Because even getting rabbit is becoming much more popular to be used for dog food diets now. So it's getting harder to source. So the big pet food companies aren't able to get enough here in the U.S., so they're sourcing it from either China or from Europe. The good companies are getting it from Europe and Italy, apparently. The not-so-good companies are getting it from China.
Right. And again, because the way things are both raised and then slaughtered and then preserved and just a ton of question marks. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to go back to the root ideas of stagnation and phlegm and these Chinese ideas that are not the phlegm, like when you cough, in understanding what's going on with your dog from the Chinese perspective. We'll be right back. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado who has created many different low-dust litters for the health of all members of the family, cats or people with asthma and allergies. Precious Cat also makes litter for the special needs of many cats, from kitten-attract litter that helps youngsters develop good habits to cat-attract litter that helps those with out-of-litter box issues get back in the box. Precious Cat's Touch of the Outdoors litter provides environmental enrichment, bringing to indoor cats the natural scent of the outdoors from field grasses grown in their own fields. This show is also brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City that can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet RX will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offers same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. Dr. Judy Morgan, you have so many Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. You rescue them by the truckload, and some of them wind up being your own. And you really do. I mean, Dr. Judy is one of those unbelievable transport people who makes those long journeys and goes to puppy mills or shelters or wherever these dogs may be found. And many of them live with her. Many seniors live with her. She's a great adopter and a great foster and a great rescuer. Do the Cavalier King Charles Spaniels have particular needs medicinally? I know that they often have a brain or sometimes heart problems, but I mean, do you look at them as needing special food?
Oh, absolutely. So we have 9 dogs in our house right now, and there are sometimes when we're feeding 5 different menus to the 9 different dogs. Because I've got 2 that have to eat rabbit because they're very allergic to other proteins. I've got almost all of my Cavaliers have the spinal cord problem, the syringomyelia. So we need to treat them with very anti-inflammatory diets and also diets that help drain damp or drain fluid, because the spinal cord problem that they have is actually a fluid buildup in a pocket called a syrinx in the spinal cord. So if I feed them a diet there are certain foods like radishes and turnips, and they help drain that fluid.
No
kidding. If I add that
kidding.
To the diet, that's a natural way to treat that.
Okay, so in China, when the doctors or the practitioners are treating people with conditions, radish is used medicinally. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. So when you give it to the cavies, do they get it raw grated, or is it chopped fine and boiled, or how do you
It depends what I'm making. If they're on a raw diet, then I might, just run it through the grinder or food processor and mix it in with their raw meal. If they're on a cooked diet, then sometimes I'll just grind it up and throw it in the crock pot with everything else.
So and the crock pot is where you do a lot of your work, so to speak, right? The crock pot is your...
I do a lot of crock pot. Yeah, I do a lot of crock pot because the low temperature, the slow and low,
right,
retains a lot more nutrition. I also will do some what I call pup loaf, which is a baked meatloaf type thing.
Yes.
Because that's really easy to store and serve as well. The dogs love it. My mother just made her very first pup loaf last week, which just blew me away when she called me and said, I finally made a pup loaf.
I made one after I read What's for Dinner, Dexter. And like, this is not hard. And it really wasn't hard. And the dogs were nuts for it. But I have to say to anyone listening, Dr. Judy is not a stay-at-home dog mom. She owns two private, personally owned holistic vet clinics in southern New Jersey and has a husband and a daughter who rides in horse shows. I have no idea how you make this many different dinners for these dogs. The thing it proves to me more than anything is how deeply you believe it and that it must have benefit or you wouldn't go to all this trouble. Otherwise, if you were one person living with one Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, I could say, you know what, indulge yourself, Judy. Go ahead and do all the radish things you want. But this is a huge sacrifice to get the ingredients and to make them and remember who gets which. I mean, with nine dogs, how do you remember who is who? So, I mean, obviously this is some serious medicine in your world, or you would not go to this extent.
Oh, yeah. I will tell you that I can cure or significantly help about 75% to 80% of my patients with food alone.
Wow.
It requires a commitment by the pet owner.
That's what I was going to say. You have to have a really motivated pet owner.
Well, most of them are because they're really frustrated. You know, they've been to 7 veterinarians. Their dog still has allergies. They're still itching. They're still taking 17 different, immune-suppressing drugs. They
yes.
look like crap.
Yes.
And they feel like crap. And so they're pretty frustrated. I do have some cheats. I do have a few really, really high-end pet food companies that I know their products. I trust their products. And so I can incorporate those as a base or as something where it's just like, okay, I need you to use this particular base. And then we're going to throw in, a little X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And that's going to take you 5 minutes to prepare. And you can make a month's worth at a time.
And that's what people need to hear, that for whom the idea of cooking even for a week once a week is daunting. It doesn't need to be daunting. But there are people who don't cook for themselves, and they'll cook for their dogs with your guidance.
Yeah, so two of my best stories, my old office manager stored purses and shoes in her oven.
I love it.
I don't cook for me.
I love it.
I don't cook for me. I'm not cooking for my pets.
I love it.
I did a food consultation with someone, and I met her out in Pittsburgh. And so she came to our RV, and we did a consultation, and I looked at her dog, and I said, well, this is what I would recommend for your dog. And she said, I store sweaters in my oven.
Oh, my God.
She's the person who puts clothing in their oven. Like, who does that?
Wow.
I needed storage space. I put my sweaters in there. And I said, please tell me it's not a gas oven, because that makes me very scared.
Oh, my goodness. This is wild.
But I will tell you, this person who had never cooked anything and had sweaters in her oven, about 2 months later, so I gave her some, already prepared products that were going to
right.
be easy for her to work with. About 2 months later, she sent me a picture of her dog and sent me a picture of the pup loaf that she had just made.
No
and she said, my
kidding.
Father is so happy, the sweaters are out of the oven.
Oh, my God, that is the greatest story. We're going to go for a quick break, but you know what? Nothing proves the point as well as those two anecdotes. We'll be right back. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to determine which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved oral spray custom-tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. Dr. Judy, what sort of reactions do, if someone has come to you using a Western medicine vet, a traditional vet, and they come to you for a consultation, I imagine many of them just switch over to you 100%, but say they don't. Say they come to you for, you know, a consultation about holistic care, and they learn to reduce some things they may be doing that are, I don't know, cortisone or routine vaccinations, and they embrace this idea of Chinese medicine theory in cooking. Do they get, I can't imagine they don't get a lot of blowback from their original vet, who must think you're nuttier than a fruitcake to be saying, you know, alligator stew and pork brains and, you know.
You know, so I think a lot of the clients don't tell their traditional.
Yes, exactly my point.
And you know what? The interesting thing is most traditional veterinarians do not even ask what you're feeding your pet.
Good point.
That's a standard question with every person who comes in my office, whether they're coming in for a routine visit or an alternative visit. What are you feeding your pet? What treats are you feeding? What table food are you feeding? What processed food are you feeding? Because to me, that all has a bearing on what I'm seeing with their pet. And it helps me to know, you know, okay, I'm seeing this kind of ear infection in your dog, and I know historically that this particular kind of problem is usually associated with eating X. So if you tell me your dog is eating X and then I'm seeing that in the dog's ears, then I have a nice correlation that I can say, well, you know what, we probably need to make some changes there.
Well, let me ask you something, because icky ears are a pretty common problem. And I have my puppy Wanda, who has one ear that just keeps getting black gooky stuff and is somewhat red and bothers her. And I was always, there's some sort of, you know, folk wisdom. Ooh, that's chicken. Is that a belief, or that's just something people say, you know, a chicken based dry food?
It might be chicken. However, what I have found, and it's really interesting because the local university vet school actually proclaimed this about 20 years ago to a couple of my clients who went there, you know, for, you know, ear infections that just wouldn't clear up. And they were, you know, chronic yeasty infections.
Right.
And I thought it was very interesting that the university actually said 90% of those with those chronic yeasty ears, even if it's only one ear, it's something in the diet that they're having a problem with. So it may not be chicken, but there is something in your dog's diet that does not agree with your dog. And so the body's way of trying to get rid of that is it's going to get it out of the body somehow.
Right.
So it's going to stick it out through the ears. It's going to come out through the feet. It's going to come out through the paws. So those chronic interdigital cysts that we see, you've got to change the diet. There's something that doesn't agree. So, you know, and what is that something? Boy, you know, sometimes that's the million-dollar question.
It is.
You have to really, you have to get down to a very, very simplified diet, and it may not be completely balanced for the first few weeks.
Yes.
Because you're just trying to say, look, I'm going to pick one protein. Maybe I'm going to pick a carb. Maybe I'm not. I have dogs in my house who can't eat any carbohydrates.
Oh, my goodness.
I haven't found one yet. Yeah, I mean, Myra, she's my little cat.
I remember once you said she came to you with black alligator-type skin. She was such a disaster, right?
Oh, she was such a disaster, and you should see her now. People see pictures of her now, and this dog grows hair so fast that she has to go to the groomer every 3 weeks to get hair taken off.
Isn't that something?
And she's energetic, and she's actually bugging me as we're talking because she wants to play. But you know, she just, any carbs in her diet, she just cannot handle them. And allergy testing, boy, the carb load for this dog, her allergens, she just can't handle it. Rabbit is her best protein. That dog eats a rabbit-based diet. She can handle most fruits.
Can't handle
those carbs. So, you know.
And let me ask you. I know in order for someone to find out what are those things and what is that allergy test, you use the Spot Platinum test, I think. It's a blood test.
We use different allergy companies.
But
yes, we do blood tests. And I will tell people, take the food allergy testing with a grain of salt, because
right.
they're going to give you a cutoff and they're going to say anything above this number, they're allergic, anything below this number, they're fine.
Right.
But I've had a lot of dogs that I get these tests back and they're kind of in, they're close, you know, but they're
yes.
on the low side. Maybe they're on the low side by 2 points and I go, okay, you should be able to eat that. And then I feed them that and they blow up like a balloon. So anything that's kind of in the close range, they're a maybe.
Right, and if you have three things,
have to feed them and find out.
And if you have three things that are in the close range, you've now put three things into the dog, all of which are maybes, and they kind of work with each other to create a reaction,
right.
possibly. So you're
right.
saying that
so, you know,
that
if the cutoff's 100, then if I get a 500, then I'm like, oh yeah, he's really allergic.
Sure,
to that. I'm not
sure
getting that anywhere near him. If it's, you know, 60, I'm like, well, that's pretty good. He's probably not allergic to that. But if I get a 95, I'm like, ooh, that's a maybe.
Right, right, because it's close enough, and the dog
right.
is already
close enough, and we just don't know,
and already prone to being allergic to things. There was a gal I bumped into in the bank who said, "Oh, she'd heard a show of mine from a long time ago when I had recommended a kind of interesting, holistic-y kind of stuff, but that it really wasn't working now." And she had done a blood test with a company other than Splat Platinum called Allergan or Aller something. I guess there are a few companies out there that do blood tests for dogs.
There's a few really cheap ones that you can order online that are a little scary.
I see.
Saliva tests.
I see.
And some of those are a little scary.
Yeah. And the thing about food, that even if you have an indicator that points to something, what everybody seems to say is you still need to do an elimination diet where you go back to a protein
right.
and rice,
right.
or in the case of Myra, no rice. And you
right,
do.
Exactly. And it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she also can't do any kind of legumes. So peas,
wow.
lentils, make that dog blow up like a balloon. So, you know, and that's where the grain-free diet, you know, people go, well, I switched to a grain-free diet, my dog is still itching. Well, there's a lot of dogs that are allergic to potatoes, and white potatoes are actually pro-inflammatory, so I don't like those in a diet anyway. A lot of dogs are allergic to peas is one of the things that they test for.
But yes.
if your dog is allergic to peas, they're probably going to be allergic to chickpeas and lentils. It's all the same family.
Oh, my Lord. So, and not only that, but the best, some of the very best high-end premium, super premium dog food brands, they use peas. Peas, whole peas, pea protein, mm-hmm. pea flour. It's actually a very
yep. Yep.
expensive and good ingredient, but if your dog doesn't do peas, ay, ay, ay.
Right. Right. And the other thing is that there were 5 studies that were done over the past couple of years in different countries by different labs that they actually tested DNA testing for the proteins that were in the foods versus what it said on the labels. 80% of them, the tests that they tested for did not match what it said on the label.
Even expensive,
so
like vet prescription
yes.
allergy foods?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it really didn't matter whether it was a cheap food or an expensive food. They don't match. So, and, you know, so the FDA and the pet food companies came back with, oh, you're just picking up traces that don't really count. You know, it's just where a different product went through the machine before this product went through the machine. Well, to that I say 2 things. One, clean your machines.
Thank you.
Runs.
Thank you.
If you have
yeah.
contamination, that's ridiculous. And 2, the testing tested, it had to have at least 5% of that protein in there. So if you're buying a limited ingredient, I'm just going to pick something,
right.
you know, duck and potato
sure.
diet.
Sure.
But it has 5% pork in it or 5% chicken in it, and your dog is allergic to either one of those things, you haven't accomplished anything. And so this is why people say, oh, you know, I switched his diet. It didn't work. It didn't help. He's, you know, it's not a food thing. It can't be a food allergy.
Right.
I tried one of those limited ingredients. Well, no, you didn't really, because you didn't cook it in your own kitchen and you don't know what was really in there.
And not only that, but you didn't do it for 8 weeks. You did it for 1 week
right.
and thought you were going to see a difference.
Right.
And that's the other thing. The elimination
right.
diet needs to be a minimum of 8 weeks. And any switch needs to be that as well. Well, I'm going to certainly go back to the drawing board with that ear of the puppy. She's a digestively challenged dog. Came with, I mean, I even had her tested as a baby for that pancreatic insufficiency. I mean, she was just a diarrhea machine
wow.
because she had a horrible beginning.
So the diarrhea also says, some protein, I see this in puppies a lot.
Oh.
Some protein is not agreeing with her. So she's trying to tell you, you know, like I said, they try to get it out of the body. She's
right.
putting whatever it is out every way she knows how. So if you've got the diarrhea, better, then, okay, good. You know, we're going in the right direction.
Right.
But now her ear is still saying there's still something.
So for all I know, I tried to go with Totally Homemade. Her body couldn't do it, even with some very nice probiotic, which I understand is a good probiotic powder. And then, and I just am realizing as we're saying this, what I give Maisie, who has allergies but also is starving and always has to have weight maintenance, I add a goodly amount of either ground chicken or ground turkey that I've cooked myself to the kibble. Because for me, with these large breed 80-pound dogs, I can't make enough food to satisfy them. I have to use a super premium good kibble and augment it with, in her case, cooked string beans and frozen broccoli that she eats as a treat. And this ground chicken or turkey that I cook up myself, and I throw some into the puppy's food, thinking, oh,
yeah, well,
you
that,
did,
you
and there you go.
Some
yes, thinking, because I have a, you know, I have one of those premium foods that's got, I don't know, venison and, you know, quail or whatever the heck it is. So this is all very interesting, and we want you to come back on Pet Food Advisors another time. There's so many more things to talk about. Raw food is something that, you know, it doesn't have to be a dirty secret, and it isn't even a dirty food, but people are scared and confused about it. So we will, with Dr. Judy Morgan, we will do raw food another time in the moment. What's for dinner, Dexter? If you want to see some really cool recipes, and you don't have to go for the beef heart if that's not appropriate to your dog, there are some great recipes. And Pup Loaf alone will help you get your clothes out of your oven. Thank you so much, Dr. Judy. Take care. Great talking to you.
Thank you.
The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. However, not all fish oil is created equal. The Nordic Naturals difference is that their oil comes from Norway, where they use responsibly sourced healthy wild fish and third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness.